So we welcome all our viewers, especially our youth from ISKCON Chowpatty today evening for a very, very special session. We are celebrating our 174th Prerna Festival, and we are very happy that this is the 18th year anniversary of our Prerna Festival. We began our Prerna Festival July 2002. Now we have completed almost 18 years, July 2020 now. And this time's Prerna is very special because we have a very, very special topic for all of you. The topic for today is back to the roots, back to the basics. And we have with us a very, very important and very prominent speaker with us. We are very blessed by his association. Let us welcome His Holiness Bhakti Asamrit Swami Maharaj. Haribol, Haribol, Haribol. Maharaj needs no introduction. Maharaj is well known all over the world. He has touched so many devotees' lives. We are honored, especially because he is actually from our temple. We should not call he is from our temple. Basically, he was a pioneer in our youth preaching. To our credit, whatever preaching we have here is because of Gauranga Prabhu, Radhisham, though all youth preaching has come from them, Paramahansa Prabhu, etc. And they all have come from Maharaj's preaching when he was preaching in IIT. And there are so many other devotees who got touched by Maharaj's special love and affection, especially the medical college students of JJ, Nair, KM, etc. So many devotees in Radha Gopinath temple came in touch with Krishna consciousness through the wonderful wisdom and sharing of Krishna consciousness of Maharaj. Currently, Maharaj is based in Belgaum, where he oversees the management of ISKCON Belgaum temple. And especially, Maharaj is well known for his a special project which he is having in just very close to Belgaum, Vedic village called as Gokul Dham, which is a 450 acres of lush green forest. So Maharaj is going to speak on a very important topic, especially important at this time of today's pandemic age. So once again, let us welcome Maharaj to our Prerna Festival and accepting our invitation by three times again loudly chanting, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. Thank you, Maharaj, for joining us. Hare Krishna.
Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Mahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagani Raghunathan Vitantam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakham Vitamscha Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Miti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evaja Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivas Adi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, I'm sorry to interrupt Maharaj and all the audience. A small announcement, all those devotees in the audience who want to ask a question later to Maharaj can type the question on the Facebook Live and we will ask Maharaj after the class. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. I am very happy to be with all of you on the Prerna Festival, even though I cannot see all of you. But it is very special to be back again in Sri Radha Gopinath Temple, which is where I spent many years of my devotional life, and I have the fondest memories of my stay in this beautiful temple. which, thanks to the dedication of so many devotees who are there now, has grown to such a wonderful degree now. And I'm also very happy to learn that this is the 18th year of the Prerana Festival for Youth, 174th session, a very, very remarkable achievement. So I want to also congratulate all the devotees who have been reaching out to the youth and especially to college students through variety of programs. And I hope and pray that the Prerana Festival will continue for a long, long time to come. Today the topic is back to the roots, back to the basics. I'm sure we have heard these two idioms before. Back to the roots, meaning back to the origin of something. Back to the basics indicates that we have drifted from the basics. We have got into something very complicated, something very complex. We have gone beyond and then realized that we have made a mistake somewhere. I presume that most of you are college students. So I will give you an example. Suppose you are a student of engineering or of physics, and you are doing a course on mathematics, and there is some degree of advanced mathematics that you are required to study. And then the professor realizes that many of the students, they are not able to relate to this because their fundamentals are weak. Maybe they have neglected their studies of mathematics in the earlier years of their studies. So he says, back to the basics. Let us now go back and study our fundamentals first before we go to this more advanced level. So back to the basics really implies that we have not been doing something that is very basic and very fundamental, that we have deviated from this norm. And it is time for us to go back to that standard original norm. Why is it time for us to go back? Because we see there is some problem here in the current situation. Just as the student of engineering, while studying advanced mathematics, did not have his fundamentals right and therefore was confused and could not understand the subject and did not do well in the exams, and there was need for him to go back to his mathematics studies from maybe the 11th standard or 12th standard or something like that. So there was a problem. There was some confusion, there was some bewilderment, because of which the need arose for the students to go back to the basics or the fundamentals. So similarly, today also in the world, there is a need to go back to the basics, back to the roots. The word back to basics also can indicate going back to traditional ways of thinking or doing things. Now, today we are in the modern era. In this modern era, we have some very unique ways of thinking and doing things in every sphere of life. And whilst, admittedly, the modern technology and modern means and have given a lot of comforts and we've made a lot of advancements in all these areas, there are still so many problems. In fact, it is something worth discussing whether it has been worth it at all. Because sometimes the problems are of such a nature and such a magnitude that many people start talking about this, that we better revisit the fundamentals. We better go back to our roots, to our basics, let us revisit how our forefathers did it. Generally, at least in India and in many other places also, I guess, it is quite the norm or even the fashion to deride something that was done by one's forefathers and to think that whatever was done in previous generations was old-fashioned and it was superstitious or it was irrational or something like that. And the idea is that today we are very advanced. We have become very scientific, very technological, economically and commercially also very proficient. And therefore, what do we have to learn from the past? You see, unless we learn from the past, we will not be able to understand the present and we will not be able to deal with the future effectively. So if we are going to dismiss everything that our forefathers did as being old-fashioned and useless and unscientific and irrational, then we are losing out on something very precious. We are losing out on some very important basics of life. Now, I'm not suggesting that everything that our forefathers did was correct. You know, traditions are a mixed bag, which means that generally speaking, in traditions as they exist in society, there are many good traditions that have been passed down that, and there are some bad traditions. Now, the traditions that I am referring to, which need to be preserved, are those that are based on sound spiritual understanding and spiritual culture. Those traditions which are based on Guru Sadhu Shastra, on the teachings of the spiritual master, then on the teachings of the previous spiritual masters, and also of the Vedic scriptures. So, the way the Vedic scriptures are presented for modern understanding by the sadhus in the modern era and also in recent times is what we need to cherish and understand. And then we should have the intelligence to apply these teachings in the modern context. So instead of dismissing all these things as being ancient and useless, it is advisable for us. It would be profitable, beneficial for us to consider what this precious wisdom has to offer for us, even in this day and age. Because the science of the Vedas, the science of Bhagavad Gita, is not a science that is changing every day with new theories. It is a science that has been established from time immemorial. And it will continue to be valid for endless time ahead in the future. So therefore, as opposed to our modern thinking and modern ideas, which keep changing, which are temporary, it is important to also take note of the ancient wisdom, which has so much to offer to us. And it is interesting that more and more people all over the world in the last several decades have been realizing that the modern society, the modern civilization, modern technology and science, modern politics, modern economics, modern social development and norms, they are not exactly helping us in the way that people would have thought they would. Certainly the advancements have been remarkable and perhaps even miraculous. But the cost-benefit analysis has to be done. And there are times like this corona pandemic, the COVID-19 situation, where the phrases like back to the roots and back to the basics become all the more relevant. Even before COVID-19 broke out, there were many movements in India as well as in other countries, which are called like back to the land movement, back to nature movement, organic farming movement, because people realized that modern practices were becoming extremely harmful and toxic. And therefore, there was need to go back to more natural ways of living and thinking, to lifestyles that were more harmonious. So despite the fact that people had access to all the latest developments that modern science and technology and commerce had to offer, they went away into the villages to live that simple kind of life, because they realized that modern civilization was not giving them the most important thing in life, which was happiness, satisfaction, love, harmony, good relationships with other people. Despite all the so-called advancements, people are fighting more and more. There is more quarrel. There is more disturbance. Certainly, these things have been also there in the ages previously. But the fact that these things are happening today is very important, because despite all our so-called technological and economic and scientific might, we have not been able to deal with natural calamities and many other problems. Every other day, in different parts of the world, there are problems like forest fires, there are tsunamis, there are typhoons and cyclones, and various other natural disasters, floods, famines, etc. And because of this, there is much destruction and much misery caused to humans and to other living entities. So our science has not been able to stop these things. And they will continue. No matter how much we have developed technologically or scientifically, nature is very powerful. And when we try to exploit nature, then nature strikes back. And this is precisely what has happened with regard to the coronavirus pandemic and the modern world. I will tell you a story, a small story, that Srila Prabhupada used to narrate on many occasions in his lectures. And the title of this story is Punar Mushiko Bhava, Again Become a Mouse. Mushaka or Mushika is a mouse. Punar means again. Bhava means become. So once upon a time, there was a sadhu or a sage. And a mouse came to him seeking protection. And seeing the mouse being afflicted, the sadhu felt compassion on the mouse and asked what the problem was, and if there was something that he could do to help. So the mouse replied that he was being harassed by a cat, and therefore he was unable to live peacefully. He was always under anxiety because the cat could attack it anytime and kill it. So then the sadhu asked the mouse, so what would you like? You would like to become a cat so that the cat does not attack you anymore? So the mouse said, yes, I would very much like that. So then the sadhu said, then tathastu, so be it. So you may become a cat. So the mouse became a cat. After some time, the cat came again to the sadhu, and he was again distraught and disturbed and anxious. So the sadhu said, what happened this time? He said, well, I'm happy as a cat, but there is a dog in the neighborhood who always harasses me, and he chases me, and I'm afraid that he will kill me sometime. So the sadhu asked, so what would you like? Would you like to become a dog so that this dog does not harass you? So the cat said, yes. So the sadhu said, tathastu, may you become a dog. So the mouse who became the cat now became the dog. And after some time, the dog again came to the sadhu. So the sadhu replied, "Now what is the problem? You have got everything you desired." So the dog replied that I was going into the forest and this tiger attacked me. I fled for my life and somehow or the other I was able to save myself. So I'm very fearful about what this tiger may do to me tomorrow or some or day after tomorrow. So the sadhu asked, "So then what would you like? Would you like to become a tiger?" So the dog said, "Yes." So the sadhu said, "Tathastu, so be it. Become a tiger." So then the dog became a tiger. Upon becoming a tiger, the tiger started glaring at the sadhu with wide eyes and with some kind of an evil look on its face. And the sadhu understood what was in the mind of the tiger. So he asked the tiger, "Why are you looking at me in this way?" So the tiger said, "Now I will come and eat you." So the sadhu immediately said, "Okay, now punar mushiko bhava. Now you become a mouse again." And the tiger again became a mouse. In this way, Srila Prabhupada told this story on numerous occasions to illustrate certain points. He was speaking about how human civilization has seen many great empires, many great kingdoms, many great kings and leaders. And one time he was speaking in America. So he mentioned that we can see that your country is now very mighty, economically very affluent, technologically and scientifically very advanced. You have so many nice educational facilities and so on. But you do not appreciate as a country that it is only by God's mercy, by Krishna's mercy, that you have become so affluent, powerful, and educated in material terms. So if you do not recognize and appreciate the grace of God in your life, then all this will be destroyed. And eventually it will be like punar mushiko bhava. You will have to go back to where you were before you started out. At other times, he mentioned how in America, on the dollar note, on any dollar note, there is a slogan which says, "In God we trust." So Prabhupada used to say that this slogan was there only for namesake, because actually it had no meaning as far as the practical life or the policies of the government and the people of America were concerned. So he spoke similarly about the British Empire. He said the British Empire also was very vast. At one time, it was spread all over the world. There used to be a saying that the sun never sets in the British Empire. So large was the kingdom. But because they did not also follow the laws of the Lord, they did not understand or accept the grace of Krishna, they misused their power. So then all that might, all that power, all those kingdoms, those countries that they were ruling are no longer there with them. And they are now just one country, which is very small, with a few other small islands perhaps that they may control. Again, a case of punar mushiko bhava. And Srila Prabhupada said, this is nature's law. When we flout nature's law, we come back to the basics. We have to come back to where you started out from as simple people, without much power, without much affluence and opulence. So Srila Prabhupada explains that it is important that we somehow or the other not forget this, that the human form of life is very special, and the sole purpose of the human form of life is to realize God, Lord Krishna. And if we do not utilize this human form of life for this purpose, then if we transgress the laws of nature, then we will be punished in so many ways. So even though today we have so much technology, so much advancement in so many areas of material life, but because we are transgressing the laws of the Lord, because we have neglected to obey the laws of the Lord, we are not considering the grace or the mercy of the Lord as anything important in our life. So therefore, nature reacts in a vigorous way, as this pandemic is. So this corona pandemic is just a reaction that is coming from nature, but it is actually coming as an expression of God's displeasure, because humanity is not following the laws of harmony of natural living. We have forgotten the basics of living life in this material world. We have gone far away from the fundamentals. We have become uprooted from the original purpose of our existence here. So there is a word in English that is called deracinate. To be deracinated means that one is uprooted culturally, spiritually, and especially in India, we have deep roots going back to many, many bygone ages in spiritual culture, in spiritual knowledge, in self-realization. India is a very special land because it is a land of spirituality. It is a land of so many holy places, of so many well-known deities and temples. And therefore, it is important that human beings, especially those who are born in Bharatvarsha, in the pious land of India, go back to their roots and retain their roots, their spiritual culture, and don't become deracinated. Don't forget the basics and fundamentals of life. And what are the basics and fundamentals of life? That we are here as human beings. We have got this rare human form of life simply to become spiritually perfect, become liberated from the cycle of birth and death, which is a cause of enormous suffering. And then once we get free from the cycle of birth and death, we will go to the spiritual world to live with Lord Krishna eternally in complete bliss and knowledge. This is the basic point of human existence, in fact, of the entire existence of this world. But the animals, the birds, the insects do not have that capacity, that intelligence, that ability to understand this. So they are not subject to the concept of sin, but they still have to suffer just as humans do, because at some point in time, all these humans, these birds, the insects, they were also human beings in some previous birth. And because of many sinful activities performed in those human births, they are now suffering the reactions of that in so many of these lower births as animals, birds, insects, and so on. So especially the human beings are meant to take this life of self-realization very, very seriously. It is not so much meant for the animals. The animals will move by the arrangement of nature, by the laws of spiritual evolution, from the lower species to the human stage of life. And once in the human stage of life, then naturally, if one does not take to this basic norm that has been given by Lord Krishna to us, then we will have to go back to the lower species So this is how also Srila Prabhupada explained that we have to go round and round. We are sent back because we refuse to acknowledge what the basics are. We have forgotten our roots. We have become uprooted. So we go down to the lower species. We are sent back again eventually to the human form of life. Two, we are given another chance to go back to our roots, to go back to the basics. The spiritual knowledge of simple living and high thinking. But then again, there is a problem. So time and time again, Lord Krishna very mercifully, very kindly, acting through his material nature, sends so many difficulties for all of us. In my childhood, I heard a story, and I'm sure you have also all heard this in your childhood. It was a very popular story, and perhaps is today also in India. It is the story of the ant and the elephant. One time there was an elephant who was very mighty, and he would roam in the forests and trample over the trees, knock down the trees. Sometimes, because of his rampaging in the forests, even many animals would get crushed and they would get hurt. So one time he trampled over a colony of ants as well. So one of the ants decided to teach the elephant a lesson. At an opportune time, the ant crawled onto the body of the elephant and wriggled into its ear. Having gone deep into the ear of the elephant, the ant started biting him very severely. And the elephant was struck with pain and was writhing in great agony, but could not do anything to get rid of that ant. So he jumped and he did so many things, but the ant remained there and started biting everywhere. Finally, the elephant learned his lesson and became humble. And the ant came out and told the elephant that, please do not be so proud anymore. Do not cause pain to other living entities and to your environment. You live peacefully. God has provided your food just like he has provided food for me, the ant. So please live your life peacefully in harmony with everybody else. And the elephant learned his lesson and lived nicely after that. So similarly, just like the tiny ant has brought the elephant to its knees, similarly this tiny virus, so tiny that we can hardly see, has brought the whole world to its knees, so to speak. And today, all our technology, our military might, our science, our economic development, none of these has been able to solve this problem, to tackle this coronavirus problem. We are struggling and struggling, trying to develop a vaccine. Perhaps someday the vaccine will come. But even if it comes, we don't know how effective it will be, whether the virus will change its strain and some other mutated form will emerge, which will become immune to that new vaccine that is being made. And even if this particular vaccine works for all strains of the virus, tomorrow some new virus will come, some new bacteria will come, some new problems will come up in this world. The problem arises when humanity tries to exploit and control nature. That is when there are severe reactions. Now just look at what happened in the first few weeks, first month or two after the lockdown was introduced, after the coronavirus pandemic started spreading everywhere. There were some very common points that people everywhere were mentioning, even in India. the social media was flooded with comments that the air has become so clean. Now we can breathe fresh air. There is no longer any smog and we can see far into the distance. Otherwise, we were not able to see. The vision was impaired because of the fog, the smog, due to pollution. So the rivers got cleaned, the air got cleaned, there was less noise pollution because there were no cars on the road making all sorts of noise. And everything suddenly started looking beautiful and clean. And people, many times people were relishing this. And even people living in the cities were making comments that we are now hearing the sound of birds, which we never heard before for many years. Even in cities like Bombay, Delhi, they saw peacocks coming into the major highways and the streets, the formerly busy streets of the city. And people were marveling at this display of nature's opulence and beauty. That is because we had stopped doing harmful things, which we were earlier doing in the name of advancement and progress and sophistication. Now nature forced us to stop doing those activities, and because of that, everything suddenly, in just a few weeks, became very beautiful, very fresh, very healthy, a source of great happiness. It was as if nature had pressed the reset button. It doesn't take nature very long to reset itself. But we have to let nature be as she is and do the healing herself internally. But in the name of progress and development, we don't allow nature to do that. We are constantly polluting the land, the oceans, the rivers, the air, polluting everything around us, including our minds. So therefore, time to time, you have these little viruses or little bacteria or some parasites coming to remind humanity, you have gone far away from your roots. You have gone far away from the basics of how you're supposed to live life in this world. So pandemics like the corona pandemic or natural disasters of other kinds are meant to remind us to go back to the basics, back to the roots. Simple living, high thinking. Natural gifts are something that nature has given all of us, but we have spoilt it. You have all heard of the Pandavas and their mother, Queen Kunti. Queen Kunti also, like her five sons and her daughter-in-law, was a great devotee of Lord Krishna. So in the Srimad Bhagavatam, she makes some very wonderful prayers to Lord Krishna. And this is in the 8th chapter of the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. She says, Kevayam nama rupabhyam yadubihi saha pandavaha bhavato darshanam yarhi rishikanam iveshituhu. She said, Kevayam nama rupabhyam. Who are we, my dear Krishna? What are we? What is our name and our form and our fame without you? We are nothing without you. Whatever name, whatever fame, whatever achievements we have is all because you are our friend. Because you have been merciful to us. So our existence, which means her own existence and the existence of her family, including her sons, is all due to you only, O dear Krishna. So very important point. And now if we do not see you, Bhavato adarshanam yarhi rishikarnam iveshituhu. Then, what will be the value? There will be no longer any value to our name, our form. We will no longer have any fame. So everything good will disappear if you disappear. If you are there, then everything will be fine. Our name, our activities, our body, everything will be there. Just as when the soul is present in the body is able to perform many functions. And there is some meaning to the activities of the body, to the name, fame, etc. of the body. But when the soul leaves the body, then the name, fame, form, etc. of the body is all destroyed. It is finished with the departure of the soul. So Queen Kunti says that just as when the soul departs from the material body, the body becomes useless and all the good qualities that adorn the body are also destroyed. Similarly, when you leave us, O Krishna, then all the good things that we have will also go away. It will be lost. Srila Prabhupada says in the purport that no one should be proud of his prestige, his advancement, his technology and science without the guidance of the Lord. In other words, what Srila Prabhupada is saying is that yes, human society can certainly have some form of development, economic development, technological development, etc. But it must be under the guidance of the Lord. It must be in harmony with the laws of the Lord. It must be done for His sake, for His satisfaction. Otherwise, Prabhupada says, it will become a fiasco. He uses the word fiasco, which means it will be a catastrophe. So Kunti Maharani is saying, people say that we are important, but actually we are not so important. We are important in the eyes of people, maybe, but the reality is we are like that because of you and you alone. Srila Prabhupada used to give examples, kind of an analogy, which I frequently quote because Srila Prabhupada used to frequently quote it, and it is such a nice example, very simple. The example of the zeros and the ones. He said that all the material accomplishments, all the material advancements, the economics, the science, the technology, the commerce, everything is like a zero. You may have many zeros one after the other, but many zeros together will only be zero. And Krishna is like the one. So if you place the number one in front of the zeros, then every zero that we add will only increase the value of that number tenfold. So similarly, without Krishna, all these things are useless. They will have no value. On the contrary, they will create great destruction, catastrophe. They will create a lot of misery for humanity and for the planet as a whole. But coming back to the basics means to bring back that one into our life, to bring back Krishna into our life, and let our economics and science and technology be done according to the way that He wants it. And then Queen Kunti further says, Neyam shobhishyate tatra yathe danim kadadhara tvapadan ankita bhati svalakshana vilakshitaihi. She says that, my dear Krishna, svalakshana vilakshitaihi, which means your glance is the cause of so much opulence. Because your footprints, your lotus footprints, have been placed on this planet or on this part of the planet, therefore everything here is beautiful and opulent. But when you leave, then it will no longer be so. Then all the opulence of this land, all the beauty of this land will be destroyed. So our kingdom appears beautiful now, O Krishna, simply because we are blessed to have your footprints on this land. And then she says another very beautiful verse. Ime janapadah sriddhah supakkaushati virudhah vanadri natyudanmanto hiyadante tava vikshitaihi. Again the word vikshitaihi, which means to see. She says, all this is flourishing, edante, tava vikshitaihi, because of your glance. The same point that she said in the earlier verse, she's repeating now. And she's saying that janapadaha, all these district places, all these trees, all the plants, the vegetation, the rivers, the mountains, the forests, the cities, the villages, everything is flourishing. It is looking beautiful. It is looking opulent simply because of your glance. Tava vikshitaihi. And if your glance is not there, then all this opulence and beauty will go away. Srila Prabhupada speaks in this verse one of his most beautiful purports in this connection. And I would very strongly suggest that those of you who have the Srimad Bhagavatam with you, you please read the entire purport of the first canto, 8th chapter, 40th verse, where Srila Prabhupada begins by saying in his immortal words that human prosperity flourishes by natural gifts which are supplied by the order of the Supreme. So we are able to be opulent, we are able to enjoy life, even to survive, only because of nature's gifts. The gifts of nature means the gifts of God, the gifts of Lord Krishna. And since we are children of the Lord, we have the right to utilize these gifts. Inasmuch as the children in any home, without hesitation, utilize the property of the parents. And they enjoy that property. But if they start creating a disturbance or a nuisance in the house, then the parents will admonish them and perhaps deprive them from utilizing certain things. The children may even be punished. So similarly, we as children of God can utilize the gifts of nature, provided we do so according to the laws of the Lord, without trying to lord it over in an exploitative spirit. Otherwise, as Srila Prabhupada cautions in this purport, we will be trapped in these exploitative attempts. When nature is supplying us so many wonderful things like fruits and vegetables and grains and flowers in abundance to satisfy our appetite and our taste, and it is supplying us so many other natural materials for our clothing, for our decoration, for our livelihood, for our accommodation and housing, etc. What then is the need for us to have slaughterhouses and unnecessarily cause so much violence and kill poor, helpless animals? So natural gifts depend on the mercy of the Lord, Srila Prabhupada says. And therefore, humanity must be obedient to the laws of the Lord. Then there will be no scarcity. This is the basic point. This is the fundamental point. Then we will be properly rooted in life. When we become uprooted from this fundamental culture, when we forget this basic point and create a very complex situation, which is very artificial, which is very harmful, then we suffer tremendously. And because of that suffering, sometimes we are jolted back. Like a shock, we are brought to our senses. And we then realize, oh, we must go back to the basics. We must now go back to our roots. We must understand what humanity is meant to be doing. And in this way, such natural disasters, they actually are meant for a purpose also. It is not that we find any happiness in the suffering. As devotees of the Lord, we also feel great pain at the suffering that humanity and other living entities are undergoing. Even if we're not devotees, still we should feel the pain of others. So as devotees, we naturally feel very concerned and pained at what is going on in the world around us. But here is the solution. Going back to the basics. Living life simply. Not simply living, but living simply. Simply living means that we are living just like any other species are living, because they don't have a goal, they don't have a purpose of life. So instead of simply living, we should live simply, which means that we don't have to clutter our life with, to use Prabhupada's words, unnecessary necessities, unnecessary comforts in the name of advancement and progress. And when we live a simple life, then it is possible for us to have high thinking. High thinking means spiritual thinking, devotional thinking. Then we can focus our time and our energies on Krishna consciousness, on our spiritual development. And there will be no scarcity. See, the Prabhupada emphasizes this point again and again, that scarcity or natural disasters and such things are simply an unnatural phenomenon that happen because humanity lives unnaturally. Humanity is separated from its roots. So once we understand these teachings of the Srimad Bhagavatam, particularly the prayers of Kunti Maharani, then it will help us to get back to the roots, to our roots, and get back to our basics. So our basic spiritual practices of chanting the holy names, the Hare Krishna mantra, of hearing the Bhagavad Gita, the Srimad Bhagavatam, cultivating spiritual knowledge, associating with devotees, side by side with living a simple life. A life of simplicity means that we are not greedy, we don't unnecessarily accumulate more and more goods, we are satisfied with as few belongings as are really required to keep body and soul healthy, happy and strong in the service of Lord Krishna, then human society will be extremely happy and stable. So this is the purport of the title of today's talk, Back to the Roots, Back to Basics. Otherwise, we are time and time again reminded through a variety of means that we have deviated from the path. So I will stop here. And if there are any questions, then I can try to address.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Yes, Maharaj, 1 minute. We have some questions for Maharaj here.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, the first question is, Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. Thanks for your wonderful lecture. To stick to basics of spiritual principles and values is easy when we are surrounded by encouraging people who try to help us in tough situations. So my question is, how can we remain stick to such spiritual values, good habits and practices when we are especially alone, and how we can increase our willpower to help oneself and help others?
When we speak of back to the roots and back to the basics, one of the very important basic principles of life is association. So for spiritual progress, the association of spiritually minded people, of devotees, is very essential. So most people, especially those who live outside the temples, they will not have the opportunity to associate with devotees for many days in a week, perhaps, or perhaps for many hours in a day, because they have to go for work, or they have to go for their studies, or whatever reason. So we should try at other times to associate with devotees as much as possible. If we do that, then it will give us the spiritual strength to go through the periods when we don't have that association of devotees. So this is the important point, that when we are not in our workplace, our place of study or our home, we should try to associate with devotees as much as possible. Of course, nowadays, because of the lockdown and the pandemic and so on, it is not possible to physically associate much with devotees unless you're living in the temple. But as we are doing now, we are associating with each other online, virtually. So you can get the association electronically. You can get the association through the books, by reading Srila Prabhupada's books regularly, and by chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra regularly. So by doing all this, we will get the required strength.
Thank you, Maharaj. It was a wonderful answer. Basically, another question is, like, in our life, like day-to-day basis, there are like decisions we have to take. So sometimes there is clarity, sometimes it's not. So, like, how to have clarity in our life, basically, especially decision-making. And
how to have clarity in our life with respect to taking decisions. Clarity.
Yes, Maharaj.
Consciousness. The more Krishna conscious we are, the more there will be clarity, number one. And number two, it is always helpful to discuss with devotees, especially senior devotees, in situations where we are unsure of what to do. And especially if the decisions to be taken are very important, then all the more reason for some form of consultation. That consultation will also help to bring some clarity.
Thank you, Maharaj. So the next question comes, like, if you want to share some principle of excellence, like devotees want to know, like, how we can excel in our life, basically. And another question was, like developing a willpower in life? There are two different questions.
How to excel in life? The question is, excel in what? And excel for what purpose? If we are clear about the basics, that the ultimate goal of our life is to excel in Krishna consciousness by developing pure devotion to the Supreme Lord. If we are sincere in this primary endeavor, then automatically we will also develop excellence in the secondary endeavors that we are required to do by virtue of our existence in this world. Whether it is for the sake of our livelihood or studies or even if it is for the sake of spreading the message of Krishna consciousness everywhere. So excellence depends primarily on becoming Krishna conscious and then working at developing the skills that may be required in one situation. So that will require some practice and hard work also. If I'm a devotee, it does not automatically follow that I will be good in a particular task. Let's say, you know, doing all this Facebook and whatever other things for, you know, setting up all these programs on the online platforms. But if that is my service, then I must learn it properly. How to do it, how to arrange all these things. So our sincerity in Krishna consciousness plus our specific effort to learn that particular field in which we are required to excel for the sake of pleasing Krishna. So both are required. And what was the second question? It was, how does one develop willpower?
Yes, Maharaj, because sometimes clarity is there. We know what to do, but then because of lack of willpower or association, the people, like we are not able to achieve the success actually.
Yes, willpower is a function of determination. Determination is a function of intelligence. And intelligence is strengthened by hearing. So the more we hear the holy name and we hear the transcendental messages of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, and we associate also with devotees who are so determined in Krishna consciousness, then we will also become determined.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this one nice question just come from a devotee here. He's saying that in the modern era where the modern education and there is a competition for job, survival of the fittest, the system has become so difficult. Then in this era, then how we can actually, while living in city, we go to the roots and the basics?
Yes, it is difficult to have a life of simple living and high thinking whilst living in a big, bustling city. Well, you can do the best you can in your situation if that is the only choice for you. Srila Prabhupada very much wanted self-sufficient farm communities to be set up. And there are opportunities, but at this point in time, there is not enough for everybody to go and live there, and nor does everyone have that desire to go there and live there, because they are accustomed to a certain life in the city and they find themselves unable to give it up when they have to go to live in such a place. In any case, the rural areas are much better for simple living and high thinking than the urban areas, because the rural areas are in a mode of goodness, at least in principle, whereas the urban areas are in the mode of passion and ignorance generally. For those who are not able to do that, and you have to live for the sake of your livelihood, for the sake of your service to Krishna, etc., then you can try to simplify your life in many ways. Number one, try to reduce the number of things that you think you need in your life. Reduce your requirements. Stop unnecessarily acquiring more and more objects in your life. Cut down the hankering for more and more. So, simple living essentially begins with the mind. If somebody is living in a village but is always hankering for the comforts of the city and all the luxuries and so on, then it's not going to be of much help. So one can be in the city also and try to cultivate that mood by first reducing our wants, not accumulating beyond what is really required. And secondly, also to try to see that we can try to live a natural life by avoiding products that are, let us say, derived from violence and cruelty and which are against our devotional principles. So try to utilize as much as possible products that are natural, that are organic, to whatever degree is possible for you. Avoid products that, as far as possible, are chemical-based. Although, whilst living in the city, we cannot avoid products of modern technology all of a sudden. Even devotees living in our farm projects, they utilize telephones and such things because they have to interact with the outside world. But minimize it to the extent that is possible for you. And visit such places, keep in touch with places that exhibit simple living, high thinking, and get some inspiration from that. And try to see what else you can do in your situation.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, can we ask one more question, Maharaj?
Yes.
Thank you, Maharaj. So this question has come from a devotee. He is saying that, Maharaj, this currently the pandemic is going on and everyone is saying that the world is getting reset, material nature is exploited. And this devotee is asking a question that, Maharaj, generally non-devotees, they are very much keen in exploiting material nature and resources. On the other hand, the devotees, they follow a very simple lifestyle of Krishna consciousness as you mentioned, Prabhupada. Then why is it that this pandemic is also equally affecting non-devotees but also devotees? So how do you understand this?
So your question is that the pandemic is also affecting the devotees, not only the non-devotees. Yes, that is the unfortunate part of being in the material world. And the virus will not discriminate that here is a devotee or he's not a devotee. You know, the laws of material nature are such that if we are in its path, it will act on us. That is the nature of material existence. So episodes like this should strengthen our resolve to not continue our material existence any longer. In this, let this be the last life, that should be our endeavor. And we can also try to spread this message so that we help other people make it their last life also, as far as possible. So we don't have to face such situations and we find a permanent solution to these problems.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for the answer, Maharaj. There's one question which has come just now is, how to deal with our mind especially now that we are under lockdown, many negative thoughts are coming out future, and the career is still at stake. We do not know what will happen. So even though we are chanting and we are practicing Krishna consciousness, instead of that, there is a question mark about our future career, our families, our parents. So how to remain steady even though there is a lot of chaos in society now?
There is only one way to counteract negative thoughts, and that is by positive thoughts. It's very simple. So we have to nurture and strengthen the positive thoughts. So because we are devotees, we are chanting Hare Krishna, hearing and reading Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, so perhaps we should intensify that so that we become stronger in our positive thinking. And that will take over, subdue, rather, the negative thinking. So a devotee should be enthusiastic, positive, optimistic, at the same time, careful. Because we are devotees, we should not be careless. But at the same time, we should have faith that ultimately if we remain strongly in Krishna consciousness, then our life will become successful regardless of whatever circumstances are there in the material world.
Thank you, Maharaj. We are just waiting for more questions to come. Maybe Maharaj, you can... some devotees in Brahmacharya asking, you can speak something about Gokul Dham project till that time. Some more questions can come.
Okay, very briefly, I will try to speak about our Gokul Dham project, which is a project where we are trying to fulfill Srila Prabhupada's desire to live simply and think high. We are trying to be rigidly adhering to this principle as possible. And we have a group of enthusiastic devotees who are living there and serving. And as it happens by coincidence, one of them happens to be here. Come. So we can... So he's Anjana Nandan Prabhu. He lives there. He lives there on the farm. And you can see how happy he's looking because he's living there. I don't live there. I visit there regularly. But they are the devotees who are living there, working very hard day and night and trying to fulfill this desire of Srila Prabhupada. So they are very happy there despite the fact that the modern conveniences are not there like electricity and electronic gadgets and, flush toilets and hot showers with, just a turn of the knob and switches and buttons and so on. But they're extremely happy. Even if you bribe them, crores of rupees, they will not come to the city to live. They want to be there happy. He is here for some medical purpose right now, so he will be going back shortly. So you want to say anything about Gokul Dham and how you find life in living in such a condition?
I love Gokul Dham very much, and I'd love to live there till the end of my life, basically.
Why?
And
why?
Serve Maharaj.
Why do you want to waste your life in such a setup? You can be outside and you can do so many things, live in the city and there's so many television programs. Why do you want to spoil your life like this?
Because I love that place, basically.
And what do you see there that is different from what is here in the cities?
It's the simplicity of life that is... very attractive to me.
And the simplicity gives happiness?
Definitely.
So what does simplicity mean for you?
Simplicity of heart and ability to chant and read Prabhupada's books nicely.
But that you can do in the city as well, no?
Well, it's easier there, at least for me.
Why? Because you don't have all the trappings of the modern city, right?
Yeah.
Which are distracting. What are the trappings of the city that are distracting?
All the gadgets, internet, and movies. Of course, not in the temple. Telephones and phone calls, late night programs, and many other things.
Yes. So all the distracting and, shall we say, depressing trappings of the city life are conspicuous by their absence there. So life is much more peaceful. Life is simpler. That simplicity gives rise to happiness. So thank you, Anjana Nandan Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
So the devotees
grow
their own grains, cereals, vegetables, fruits. And we have bulls there who are grazing. And that's how life goes on. No mixers and grinders and no other such gadgets. Everything goes on in a very simple way. Okay.
So, thank you, Maharaj, for your wonderful answer. Sorry, Maharaj, got muted. Can we take one more small question, Maharaj, if you have permission?
Yes.
Maharaj, first of all, thank you for introducing Anjana. I have forgotten the devotee's name.
Anjana Nandan.
So we hope and pray that as soon as the pandemic over, maybe we'll bring all our young boys, youth to Gokuldam. And provided if you are there, then it will be very great to have you also and speak more on this lively things, showing us something, and then we can be getting more understanding and realization of this project. So I'm not able to hear any Haribols there, but wherever they are sitting, they are definitely saying Haribol. We can have IOS Yatra to Belgaum, Gokul Dham project. It will be wonderful to have it. Maharaj, there's a unique question that has come here. One devotee is very positive indeed. He's saying that Prabhuji Maharaj, even though there is a lot of beauty there is a virus around, but I am very glad because of this virus, I have been staying at home. I have got time for myself, which I did not have. And I am going to hear so much of nectar of, like for example, now we are getting a chance to have you on your Prerna festival. So the Lord is mentioning that legacy here. So many different devotees, more hearing is going on, more association on the net. And time for myself. So he is giving a positive outlook. So he's asking Maharaj, is it right thing to say, or it's like a, or maybe it's not an all right?
Yes, there is a saying in English that every cloud has a silver lining. Say every adversity has an opportunity. So devotees are very intelligent. So they utilize the adversity also as an opportunity for progressing in their Krishna consciousness. Rather than simply lamenting and developing negative thoughts, might as well do something positive for oneself and for others. And the most positive thing we can do is to work on our Krishna consciousness, on hearing and chanting and so on. So yes, I agree with you. There are also some plus points. And all devotees have experienced this. So thank you all very much.
Thank you, Maharaj, for your wonderful association. We're very glad that you gave your time to us. You're very busy in your schedules even now, even though you are locked down also. But so many devotees all over the world are aspiring to have your association. You choose to come for a small program of Prerna Festival. And we hope and pray that in the future we can have you actually sitting with us, Vyasasan, here and giving us a talk on such relevant topics. And let us thank His Holiness Bhaktivinoda Samrat Maharaj for giving his time and energy and giving his wonderful association on the internet by loudly chanting three times. Hari Bol! Hari Bol! Hari Bol!
Hari Bol!
Sodhanas Bhakti Rasami Swami Maharaj ki jai, Shri Prabhupada
ki jai. Jai Radha Gopinath ki jai, Shri Prabhupada ki jai.